Let me first introduce myself. My name is Jason Lee, and I have the awesome privilege to serve as the family life pastor at the Church of Battle Creek in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But for this crowd, more pertinent, I am the son-in-law of Pastor Bobby. But I am here and glad to be here. This morning about 6:30, Miss Marie knocks on Kelly and I's door and says, is Jason willing to preach this morning? You know, I thought it was some kind of son-in-law test. You know, like, yes, okay, it's the day of. Yes, I'm supposed to say yes to that, you know. But he never came down for breakfast, and he didn't get in the car with us, and I still don't see him. So I think this is really happening. So I've thrown together an outline for you, and excited to see what God does this morning and what he's already doing. Would you pray with me? God, we just want to stop and acknowledge you, God, that you are so in control. And God, we just thank you for this morning, an opportunity to come and to worship you and to serve you the best way we know how. And God, I pray that you would use your word to speak to us in a mighty way. And we ask this in your son's great name. Amen. So there's some things that are certain around this time of year. Family gets together, lots of food, gifts, but also that the movie A Christmas Story will be played 24 hours a day. I think it's either TBS or TNT, one of those Turner stations, but 24 hours a day it is played. For those of you not familiar with the movie, it's basically a story about Ralphie, who all he wants for Christmas is a Red Ryder BB gun. And he's tried to convince his parents and his school teachers and even Santa, and he gets the same advice. No, you can't get it. Why? Because you'll shoot your eye out. That's right. The movie was released in 1983, and I was 4 at the time, and I remember about when I was 9 years old, we would all get an assignment. I have an older brother and sister, and my mom would sit and say, hey, write out your Christmas wish list, you know, and this was her way to see what we really wanted, and so she can convince us there was no way we could get it, and then we'd get it Christmas morning, we'd all be happy, right? So I didn't even know if it existed, but I wrote down a Red Ryder BB gun. I just watched the movie and impressionable, so I wrote that down, and sure enough, Christmas morning, I received a Red Ryder BB gun, and I took that gun. I remember going outside and trying it out. I loaded the BBs in, and you know, it's really not a great product. I mean, there are a lot better BB guns. You know, it kind of arcs that way. It's really cheap. It gets locked up. So I'm out there. I've placed the cans up on the fence there, and I'm determined, just like in the movie, to knock these cans down. Well, I'm not hitting any cans, and you know, and I'm like, man, I'm really a bad shot. And I said, wait, there's got to be, you know, I'm losing confidence in the gun, you know, because I'd squeeze the trigger and just, you know, I wouldn't see the BB or hear it, and I was really confused. So I said, you know, as a 9-year-old mind can, I've got to get to the bottom of this. Is this BB gun working, or am I a bad shot, you know? So I tried all the things a 9-year-old would think. You know, I got closer to the can. That didn't help. I pointed in the dirt, you know, and see the dirt fly up. I'm searching for a BB in there. And I was still just baffled. So I said, okay, there's really only one way to know for certain if this BB gun is really working. Not my brightest moment, okay? So I took my left hand, and with enough courage, I remember pulling the trigger. Now, what happened next is etched in my memory forever, okay? The gun worked, all right? And I remember running around the yard screaming and then stopping and looking, and no one was around. I was like, okay. So I can keep this away from people. So for the next 2 days, I walked around with my fists balled up like this until about 2 days later, my mom got wind of it, and I opened my hand, and there was a BB still embedded in there, and she had to dig it out, and I've still got a scar there to remember that whole incident. And this time of year, and really we just have a couple days till Christmas, hopefully if all of you filled out your wish list. In fact, if there's something on the top of your wish list that you're hoping for, on the count of three, just say it, okay? The number one thing on your list here, 1, 2, 3. Let's do that one more time. Here we go. Top of your list, hope. Now listen, hey, you know, kid, this may be an opportunity for mom and dad to hear it, okay? All right, 1, 2, 3. Okay, I did hear a new truck and an iPhone, that kind of stuff. And I wanted to venture out this morning and just, you know, venture out and wonder. You know, people ask us this whole, you know, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And I'm just curious, what is on God's wish list? If we were to ask God, hey, what do you want for Christmas? What would he tell us? And I think that we might have stumbled on to a picture of what his wish list would be like. So I want you to join me and turn to the Newer Testament and 1 Thessalonians. It's all the T's are right there together. It'll be easier to find. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to be in verse 16. And just to kind of give you some background or some context of where we're at, as you know, this is the first letter to the church of Thessalonica, written by Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. But it's also mindful to know that this was a young church. This letter was written when they were only about 3 years old, and they had a lot of questions that were coming back to Paul. They were really hung up on the return to Christ and what that was going to be like. And also, they had a lot of questions on how they should live. Why were they asking that questions? Because the climate in that culture was very hostile for a believer. You had zealous Jews, you had angry Greeks, and you had a Roman government that was corrupt. And so they were constantly asking, how should we live our lives in this climate, in this culture? And that's what most of chapter 5 is about. And I want to read verses 16 through 18 with you. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. I want to reveal to you, I think what might be on God's top five wish list, but I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to go backwards. We're going to unpack this text. Just like when you would pack a bag on a trip, basically what you put in last, you take out first when you get there. So we're going to work backwards through this text, and the number one thing on God's wish list in your notes there, is that we belong to Him. And I can assure you that God desires all people to know Him. And when you think of that word belong, I think of things like in fellowship, ownership, accountability, and heir. That we literally belong to Christ Jesus. Now, the opposite of that is true, though. The opposite of belonging is drifting and being isolated and alone and orphan, overwhelmed. And if I were to ask you this morning, who do you belong to? How would you answer that? I mean, really, there's only two ways to answer. You can say, well, I belong to Christ Jesus, or I belong to myself. Hey, I'm the king of this castle. I say and do how I please. I report to me. I'm accountable for my own actions. And I want to remind that God's word says, you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. And it was Christ's life and his death and his resurrection that allows us to belong to him. And I hope that each one of us in this room can say we belong to him this Christmas. For that's number one on his wish list. And if you can't say that, I hope you'd get that settled before your head hits the pillow tonight. Secondly, on God's wish list, before we get to that, I think the next phrase is very interesting. Going backwards here, he says, for this is God's will for your life. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor or as a shepherd, as a follower of Christ, people have asked me, hey, what is God's will for my life? And Paul puts it so plainly here. He says, hey, this is it. This is God's will. There's only one other time that Paul uses this language so plainly, and that is when he talks about purity and sexual purity. That's the only other time Paul says, hey, this for sure I know. This is God's will for your life. So what is God's will for your life? Number two, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, when I first think of that, the thoughts that kind of conjure up in my mind are, hey, it could always be worse, right? Hey, give thanks because it could always be worse. There's always someone else that's worse off, so don't complain. But I think there's more to that, what he's trying to say. You know, it's when I was a kid at the grocery store, you know, I'd try to sneak the Snickers in the grocery cart, you know, or the little toy, and they always found it, you know. But I remember my dad one day grabbing that Snickers bar, and he said, Jason, and I would throw a fit, you know, he said, Jason, I once complained when I had no shoes until I saw a man with no feet. It's kind of heavy for a kid, and you're like, I just wanted a Snickers. it's a heavy thought. But it's a great reminder that, yes, there's always someone who's worse off, but I believe there's more to this text. You know what that reminds me? It says, you know what? My relationship with God is not conditional to the things I have here. That in Habakkuk, when he says, hey, if my pantry is full or empty, I praise the Lord. The Lord gives and he takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And can I tell you, what grieves me sometimes? There's a message that's going out, and it's in this country, and it's going out to Asia, and it's going out to Africa, and basically, hey, if I'm a good Christian, I'll be wealthy. If I'm a good Christian, I'll be healthy. And these people go into these countries and they're telling these poor people who have never heard the true gospel, they say, hey, these nice clothes I have, if you give your life to Jesus, you can have them. Hey, and your women who are barren, your livestock who are dying, if you'll give your life to Jesus, Jesus will fix it. And those people are looking at them and go, wait a minute, who gave you that nice car? And they say, Jesus did. Well, then I'll take Jesus. That's not the gospel. We can give thanks in all circumstances. Because why? This isn't our home. This isn't our final resting place. This isn't it for the Christian. So I can give thanks. July 31st of this year, my cousin Reggie was driving home the same road he had driven 1,000 times. And his car slipped off the road, hit a cul-de-sac, went airborne. He was driving at T-top. He was ejected from his vehicle, and he broke his neck and died. He has 3 small children. And I remember standing at that funeral and looking at my aunt and uncle who lost their son, looking at my cousin Reggie who lost his best friend, and looking at his 3 kids. And I remember afterwards, you know, I shared from Luke chapter 13, I don't know if you know the story, but basically some believers came to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, there were some people worshiping down at the temple and they were slaughtered. Why? And they said, and then Jesus said, hey, do you remember the Tower of Siloam that it fell on 18 believers? And the people, Jesus, why is this happening? This isn't right. Were they sinners? What happened? And Jesus said this, repent. Repent, for you will perish also. That life is God's to give and his to take away. And the best thing I could say as I hugged each one of those kids, God is enough. God is enough. And I know there's a wound in your life that only God can heal, but I want you to know God is enough. And so we can give thanks in all circumstances if we have them, because he is enough. Next on the list is never stop praying. This time of year is, and maybe it's just because I've been around, you know, church a lot, and but it's really fun for me as a people watcher. I love the people watch, and yesterday we went to the Mall of Georgia, and I believe all of Georgia was there. It was a lot of people watching going on there. You know, we were there about 2 hours, and everyone's already spent, you know, and in more ways than one, I guess. But never stop praying. I always, in Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, you know, someone when family gets together thinks it's probably a good idea to pray. You know, it's like no matter how spiritual you are, you know, like, you know, we should probably pray. And it's funny to watch some movies that have portrayed this, you know, Meet the Parents or Ricky Bobby's movie, you know, Dear 8 pounds, 6 ounce baby Jesus, you know. There's, you know, Christmas Vacation, you know, where say grace, she died over 30 years ago, you know, and then she started saying the Pledge of Allegiance, you know. And, you know, I don't know what it's like in your family. I don't, you know. In my family back in Houston, you know, because I am a minister, you know, I pray all the time. You know, it's like I've prayed every prayer of our family the last 10 years. You know, it's like you pray, Jason, you know. But this year was really special in our family. During Thanksgiving, of course, my mom has to go around the table. What are you thankful for this year? And God's doing a great work in my mom's life, and she has grown tremendously with the Lord this year. And when it got to her turn, you know, she was just able to say, hey, God's allowed me to give more to the church and to be a part of the new worship center they're building. And then when it came time to pray, we were circled around, and I was waiting for the look that says, okay, pray, Jason, you know. And which I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind praying. I just want to spread the wealth a little bit, you know. So she looked at me and she says, I got it. And she prayed. And when he says never stop praying, he doesn't mean just those times of year. He doesn't mean just, you know, these certain times of day. You know, I was in Egypt this summer on helping some missionaries there and being a part of a work there. And you know, the Islam faith, they literally have speakers covering the entire place with prayers five times a day. But what Paul's talking about, of course, is this attitude of prayer, this praying without ceasing. You know, you don't have to kneel down. You don't have to have your eyes closed. It's a constant communication with God. And I pray that your relationship with the Lord allows you the freedom and you are comfortable with communicating and speaking to God regularly. And the great thing about when you speak to God is you don't have to explain yourself. You know, sometimes, like, you know, when Kelly's the person I'm closest with in the entire world. When I come home, I have to explain to her why I'm feeling this way or what's on my heart. When I get with God, He already knows. And He can begin to work on my heart, or we can begin to have this great dialogue. And so I encourage you and know that on God's wish list, not only that you belong to Him, that you give thanks in all circumstances, but you never stop praying. Fourthly is always be joyful. And we're going through that verse backwards, and the next phrase is always be joyful. And I'm just so thankful it doesn't say happy. It doesn't say always be happy. You know, happiness is so temporary, you know, like a Happy Meal. You know, I mean, you know, it comes in one end and, you know, I mean, temporary. You know, there'll always be another toy next week for the kids to get. But joy is eternal. Joy speaks to eternal things. Eternal, God's people and His Word. Three times of most joy in my life, one is the joy of my salvation. And to fully understand that God allowed me to be a part of His family and that He made a way that I could have a relationship with Him. Secondly, is standing in this sanctuary reminds me, but I remember standing on my wedding day, April 23rd, 2005, and waiting at the altar, and those doors opened, and I saw my bride for the first time in a wedding dress walking down with her dad. I remember joy being overcome with me, because that was an eternal thing that God was doing that day. And I remember when December 21st, 2006, when I heard my son's cry for the very first time. And in those moments, God just speaks to you. He talks to you, and you realize that there's something bigger going on than what meets the eye. And joy overwhelms. You know, I often, think about, you know, joy, and, you know, a definition of joy I ran across is joy is peace dancing, and peace is joy resting. Joy is peace dancing, and peace is joy resting. And can I just encourage this one by saying, hey, if this God thing, if this church thing, if this Jesus thing, if this Bible thing, if that's not a joyous thing for you, you just haven't grown there yet. Because when you realize how beautiful the story is, joy overcomes you. And I pray that this Christmas, you'll be joyful. And I pray this January and this February, when all the bills come in, that you'll be joyful. Because joy is eternal. And you'll realize that our place is in heaven, not in here. Lastly, on God's wish list, His top five, is keep the holidays holy. The word holy, of course, just means separate. That's why, you know, we don't go to work and we get with family, that there's something different about this time of year than all the rest of the times of year. This is the time of year when we celebrate how God made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that He gave us that gift. And we've got to keep that holy. And so I want to go through just some four practical ways to help you keep the holidays holy. One is herald the hope. 1 Peter 3:15 says, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to give an account or to explain it. And so all I'm saying is, during these times, if it's functions at work or around family or other people, be ready to speak of the faith that is inside of you. Peter says, be ready to give an account. It may be someone at a sales clerk. It may be someone you're standing in line next to. It might be your brother or your sister. It might be a cousin. But you be ready to herald the hope that is inside you. Secondly, another way to keep the holidays holy is obey in a new way. It's a great time of year for me. I do a lot of self-evaluating, a lot of praying, seeking God's direction this time of year. In fact, it was 2 years ago that during this time of year, I was in this city and at this church. We were meeting over at the school, and Kelly and I were praying and fasting about a decision, and he made it clear for us to go to Tulsa and go to Oklahoma. And I take this time of year to really evaluate this. God, hey, how can I obey you in a new way? How can I make sure that this time next year I can look back and say, God, man, I've grown. My relationship is stronger, more vibrant. You know, I don't know what that is for you. You know, maybe that for you is as simple as attendance. You know, listen, hey, God, I want to be where you speak. And I know when I'm where you speak and where you show up, that's the best place I can be. So I need to be more involved that way. Or maybe for you it is in the area of giving. God has really taught so much about this topic. You know, God, listen, hey, we don't want to just bring our offering or bring our tithe. Show us how to give more offerings and show us how to plant seeds into things. You know, I've been tithing since I was 16. There's not many things I still do since I was 16. So God, what's the next step? How can I obey in that way? God, what is it you have me to do? Is there a place? Is there a ministry in the world you're calling me to? Am I open to that? How can I obey you this next year in a new way? Thirdly, is to lift up the name of Jesus. Live to lift up the name of Jesus. Make this time of year about Jesus. And the reason I say that, one of the reasons is people are confused, okay? You know, every time I'm around someone, they go, thank God. I go, okay, hold on. Are you talking about the God? Who are you talking about? You know? Because our climate is so confused. You know, yes, they want to be about spirituality. They believe in a higher being, but they don't know who Jesus is. So make sure you're lifting up the name of Jesus. John 12:32 there says, and when I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself. So it's our responsibility to lift up his name. Lift up the name of Jesus. Make Christmas a lot about Jesus, a little about Santa. A lot about Jesus, a little about food. That may be tougher than the first one for some of you. A lot about Jesus and about a little about family. Make sure that wherever you're at, it always stays about Jesus. Lastly, on the ways to keep the holidays holy is I want to encourage you to say yes to less. I had the verse John 3:30 there. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I just want to just warn you of getting in a trap, of being a part of a lot of activities and doing a lot of things, but missing out on the big picture. Last week in Tulsa, there was a huge ice storm that came through, and we lost power. Tulsa metro area is about 1 million people, and about 600,000 were without power. And I learned a lot. The priority list, by the way, in case you ever have an outage, is water treatment plants. They're first. Got to keep people healthy with water. Then hospitals, and then other public utilities, and then your neighborhood. So it took about 3 days to do it. But during that time, you know, it's really eye-opening when things slow down. You know, you have no TV, you have no internet, you have no stove, you know. I'm not exactly an outdoorsman. So I was a little challenged during this time. And, you know, I had to figure out what kind of fireplace we had, you know, never knew. And it's gas, by the way, which it's good to know that. But, you know, which doesn't really... I didn't have any logs for it. You know, I guess you can't just turn the flame on. They have these things called gas logs. And during an ice storm, everyone sold out of them. Can't really buy them anywhere. And so then I thought, okay, do I just start a real fire in there? And then I realized there's a little thing in the fireplace you have to open to get the smoke out. So we braved it one night, and I have the gas on, and just not very warm, and you know, I've got Jaden's, you know, playpen as close to the fire without him catching on fire as possible. Kelly's on one couch. You can't see her. She's a big cocoon, you know, and I'm on the other. And we made it one night. Then we had found some friends who had a generator who were prepared. So buy a generator now because they will be sold out once again when you need them. But I was really fascinated. I was telling Kelly, I said, you know, I think this is why there's not a lot of great Christian thinkers anymore. Because we don't just take time to stop and think on the things of God. that we constantly fill our lives with so much activity. Howard Hendricks has a quote. He said that much activity comes from a bored and painful heart. And you know what I found? This time of year brings that out in people. Think about it. If you don't know Christ, how do you get through this time? You fill it up with a lot of other stuff. And then New Year's comes, and you got to ask all the big questions of life. What am I here for? What am I doing? What's my purpose? What are my goals? And can I just tell you, if Christ is not in your life, that's a sad conversation. And people know the pain and emptiness of their heart. So I encourage you, say yes to less. And spend some time alone. And think about the things of God. And think about what He has in store for you and your family and your life. I just want to close with saying that I hope this Christmas is the best ever for you. And I hope you belong to Him. I hope that you're able to give thanks in all circumstances. Hope you never stop praying, that you're always joyful, and you keep the holidays holy by heralding the hope, by obeying in a new way, by living to lift up the name of Jesus and saying yes to less and saying, God, hey, I've got to decrease so you can increase. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for these words that you gave the church of Thessalonica. God, a church who was eager to live for you. And they just said, God, how do we do that? And God, I'm thankful that you gave them this passage and you told them and you're telling us today to always be joyful and to never stop praying and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for your life, for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And God, I pray for that person out there this morning who says, I don't belong to anybody. Nobody's took my place and I haven't given my life to anyone. I'm selling my own ship. God, I pray that you would call them even now in this place and remind them that you have a home for them that's not on this earth, but it's with you forever. That you have a plan and purpose for their life while they're here. And God, I pray they respond to you. And this will be the first Christmas in their life they can say, I have a Savior. And His name is Jesus. God, I pray for the person in this room who needed to hear that sometimes you take away. God, I thank you for Reggie and his life. And God, I continue to pray for Uncle Larry and Aunt Vita and Reggie. And God, I pray you'd comfort them this Christmas. God, I pray you'd remind them that this was your plan and your idea, and you want to use it for your glory. God, I pray for the person out there this morning who's the table has an empty spot, and there's no present on the tree for them. God, I pray you'd be with them. God, remind them this isn't their home. And Lord, we just say, we want more of you. We want more of you not only for ourselves, but for our family and our children. So God, we just say, help us. Help us make this time of year about you. And we commit to say, God, do it whatever you want. God, if you want to change the way we do things, change it. God, if you want to change the way we respond to you, just change it. Do whatever you want. And God, we just we pray that we would do your will. God, that we would not waste a minute or a moment of our life seeking things that are temporary. But God, we would seek that which is eternal. And God, may that be made real to us today. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.